Get the meeting underway. Welcome to the Friday, February 9th, 2018, meeting of the Fish and Wildlife Commission. Thank you all for attending. We will move into item number three, call to order. So, Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's my distinct honor and pleasure to acknowledge one of our young staff members who's having a birthday today. And Miss Tammy Leninger over there, the one with a bit of a red glowing face. It would be our pleasure if the folks in the audience would join us in a rendition of Happy Birthday.
Only if she stands. She has to stand.
No. All right, you ready? Let's go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tammy. Happy birthday to you.
Hey. We promised her we wouldn't do that.
It wasn't that bad.
She's the glue that keeps us together.
Mom.
All right. Now on to business.
Are you getting a little blushed?
No. Okay.
You want to announce Amy?
Yeah.
How do you want to do it?
Yeah. I was going to ask.
You want to sing again?
No. Yeah. Welcome, Amy. No. We have with us our new acting deputy director. Amy, did you want to introduce yourself and say a few words?
Sure. My name is Amy Woodrow. I am just. Until yesterday, the Region 4 Regional Director. I started in that position in July. Before that, I served in the Habitat Program and was a division manager for our land use policy, forest policy, climate change, and renewable projects. I'm really happy to be here. I appreciate this opportunity. I look forward to working more closely with the Commission and with the communities.
Well, welcome, Amy. Some of us have had an opportunity to work with Amy, and it's a pleasure to be having more engagement with you as time goes on, so welcome. I'll open this up to commissioners' discussion. Any items that the commissioners wish to raise?
I have one.
Commissioner Carpenter?
I didn't look the date up on my phone, but a week ago Wednesday, I had the pleasure of joining Ron Warren, meeting with Sean Yannity, the chairman of the Stillaguamish Tribe, Jason Gobin, natural resources manager of the Tulalip Tribe, and several of the Stillaguamish staff. We met for a couple hours at their natural resources facility up near Arlington. Subject was the RMP, and we talked in depth. It was a very good first meeting. More work to be done, but the exchange was, I think, as good as we could expect. I look forward to more opportunity on it, and I appreciate Ron's participation and guidance on that.
Anything else down there? Mr. Thornburg?
I'd just like to share with the Commission and the folks out there some citizen science activities that the Department is involved in. As I think most people know, I'm a birder, and it's bird survey season, and there are several activities that the Department facilitates that use citizen scientists and other partners. Over in my neck of the woods, the shrub steppe, we're in the third year of the shrub steppe songbird survey. This is the lead partner on this is Audubon Washington. There are three marker birds that are surveyed by citizen science volunteers. They're the brewer's sparrow, the sagebrush sparrow, and the sage thrasher. All three are birds of concern, actually throughout the range because of the threats to the shrub steppe. The second one is also in year three, and it's a waterfowl survey. I'm really trying to get an understanding of the use of the potholes in the shrub steppe during migration of the various waterfowl that come through. It being in year three, we've seen two very different springs. We're actually starting the transects next week. It extends through April. It's real interesting to do because you see the different species coming through in waves. But there really has not been a good solid understanding of the use of this habitat for migration as part of the flyway. And as I said, WDFW is kind of the lead. The other partners include Ducks Unlimited. They're doing kind of the academic portion. Gonzaga University, Spokane Audubon provides a lot of the citizen science volunteers, and also the Fish and Wildlife Service, mostly represented in, at Turnbull, which has four of the transects. There are, I think, about 10 transects that are run in Spokane, Whitman, and Lincoln counties, and we're just collecting phenomenal data. There are also some birds that are being tagged. The marker there is the pintail. And then the final one is one that I work pretty intensively with, and that is LEX surveys for sharptail and sage grouse. We're able to have volunteers, teams of volunteers trained to do the LEX surveys, and it actually relieves WDFW staff to do more searching for LEX. We have volunteers that survey the known LEX. This is really important data just to have a handle on the population of these two state-listed birds, the greater sage grouse and the Columbian sharp-tailed grouse. So real good examples, I think, of department partnerships with other agencies as well as the use of citizen scientists.
Thank you. Mr. Gribble.
Just wanted to give the commission and the public an update on, when was that, Wednesday? Kim Thorburn and I,
yeah.
Commissioner Thorburn and I, attended the annual meeting of the Colville Tribe with the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And just in advance of that meeting started, we had a meeting with department staff on the ongoing update of the Columbia River Spring salmon allotment and catch balancing effort, a review of that, and also the Upper Columbia Fish Management Plan. And we just sort of met, identified needs to what kind of information we'd need to conduct a thorough review, and kind of established a timeline of when that data would be gathered, and then also talked about who would be included in a sort of work group to move that forward that would include Oregon Department staff and commissioners. And so it was a good meeting. We got a lot accomplished in a short time. And also the meeting with the Colville Tribe is an important one, and they are a big partner in the Upper Columbia production of spring salmon and summer Chinook. And so we had to leave that meeting early, but the department and the Colville Tribe has a very cordial relationship and moves forward.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to item number B then, the meeting minute approval. Do we have a discussion on the minutes or a motion?
I move to approve the minutes of the Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission February 2nd, 2016 conference call meeting. And after a second, I'd like to make a comment.
Motion's been made. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Any further discussion? Hearing none?
Yes. I would. These minutes were amended at the time of the call fairly extensively, and I would just request that in the future we receive those proposed amendments in writing in advance rather than just hearing them. It was a fairly substantial change to the minutes, and we acted on it simply by hearing them, and I just think it would be better practice to see them in writing if we're going to change the minutes that extensively.
Yeah, I think that makes all the sense in the world. So any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the minutes approval, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same side, sign. And it's our approved. Do we have another set of minutes? Or is that,
no, that that's was it. It.
Okay. Yeah. Then we'll move into item number C. Committee reports, if available. I'm slowly getting my mouth and mind and
why don't you
sink.
Get a coffee?
It's too late.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll provide a report on last evening's Fish Committee meeting. It was a new template for how we're going to try and do things in the future, where we have it open to the public. And also additional commissioners above and beyond the four that we've had historically can sit in, and I thought it went well. Just briefly, and maybe some of the other members of the Fish Committee might have some comments as well. Columbia River Policy Review C-3620. It was agenda item one. Agenda item two was the Willapa Bay review. And under number one, Columbia River Policy C-3620, and staff provided a one-page handout containing an outline of some elements of an evaluation of the 2013 to 2017 policy C-3620 that has been in effect. The committee opted for additional time to review the handout and discuss at a future conference call. Item two, Willapa Bay issues. The committee was briefed on the agenda item scheduled for the full commission on February 10th, 2018. Referring to the staff presentation posted for presentation to the full commission on Saturday, February 10th, 2018. No alternatives or recommendations were voted out of committee. We were going to discuss the Puget Sound Chinook management plan, but we postponed that because staff, we had some illness on staff's part. In attendance at the meeting were the full Fish Committee plus two additional commissioners, Commissioner Baker, Commissioner McIsaac. We had our counsel, Bill Freymeyer, 16 agency staff, and five members of the public. And we look forward to doing this in the future. I think it'll be a good way to do things, and hopefully we'll get more attendance and have a more involved outcome. I think Commissioner McIsaac had a comment, and then anybody else that was at there, please feel free.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman, and thanks to the Commission for this kind of testing of the open meeting concept that I think does improve our open and transparent decision-making process. I think this enabled all the people who wanted to see what kind of information that some of the commissioners are presented with in advance of the full Commission sessions. And as you've indicated, this was still kind of a bit of testing. There's room for this to evolve and improve. I think that handouts for all the folks in the audience might be an idea. Showing the PowerPoints on the screen that everybody's referring to might be another way to help things out. In other situations, rather than the setting of this room, maybe there might be a conference table that we all meet around, as is done in the past, either at a hotel or here at the headquarters area. And that might have solved some of the hearing problems without the need for our Wonder Woman, our executive assistant, to come to the rescue once again as she turned on the mics. But I think as we move through this, we have to model these things so that we are not dependent upon the executive assistant's attendance for a committee meeting to be successful. But all in all, I'm thinking that things can get better, and being more open and transparent will improve the image of this hardworking commission. On the matter of the Columbia River policy, the task here that was put forward on the January 23rd conference call, which was a postponement of the last day of the Ridgefield in-person meeting. And conference call decision-making is inherently awkward if there's any degree of complexity whatsoever, as we just referred to in even amending the minutes. So conference calls are really a challenge for us to conduct business on. The task here for this Columbia River policy, though, is to simply conduct the comprehensive evaluation of the policy that's called for in the policy, in this case covering the first 5 years of the policy, 2013 to 17, just looking at what worked and what didn't work, what expectations were achieved and what weren't. Where do we still have concurrent policies and regulations with Oregon, and where do we do not? That kind of thing. This tasking also called for the engagement of our advisory bodies, and it's gratifying to hear that they will be able to meet just prior to our March meeting, and we'll have a statement for us to consider when we get to Wenatchee. So a thorough, comprehensive evaluation of the past 5 years, I think, is an essential predicate to any consideration of adjusting any component of the policy in the future. But we have to get to that first step of evaluating how things went the first 5 years before getting to the second step. Thank you.
Any other committee reports? No. Seeing none.